Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today, of course, we have my co-host, Dom. But what's going on, Ryan? We also have... Dom, would you just wait? I got to introduce our guest. How dare you step on it? We've been doing this show for six seasons. For six seasons, you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You want to know how come?
Wait, Mickey, you sound terrible. And we have a returning guest host, Matt Chernoff. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. Can't wait to talk about my third favorite Rambo movie.
Oh, wow. Third favorite. Okay. The fact that this is anything but last favorite for Rambo fans is saying something. So, of course, Matt, you were honest with before, but why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself to any of our new listeners of who you are, what you either do in the social media world, i.e. Variety, or your other podcast. By all means, so plug yourself. Go ahead.
Sure thing. So last time I mentioned that I have a Western movie podcast called How the West Was Cast that covers the full span of Westerns. We don't just pick one era or anything. We go from the 30s all the way to the modern Westerns, and I co-host that show. I also worked on a James Bond podcast for many, many years, James Bond Radio, which is a real popular Bond podcast. As you mentioned, I write for Variety. I'll do stuff like that. So I'm anything film related, especially with this podcasting stuff, I love. And this show in particular has just been one of my favorite watches.
Well, you're very kind. It's always nice to hear if anyone says they even listen to this show. So that's very kind that you do and that you enjoy. It's even more important. I don't know who listens to podcasts and they don't enjoy it, but I guess some people do hate listen. You know, you might have a couple of hate listeners. To those hate listeners, we thank you for that. Well, yeah, Frank. We'll get them. People are very excited about our Frank Sloan segments. We almost have to remind our listeners and viewers that we are actually a Rambo podcast. We are not a Frank Sloan podcast. However, the Frank Sloan segments seem to start. They're overshadowing a little bit our Rambo segments. People in our YouTube comments are literally mentioning the Frank Sloan segments, not even the.
They shut the rest of the episode off, probably.
It's surprising to me that anybody can make Frank interesting, and somehow you guys have managed to do that. So that's, kudos to you. That's the impossible.
Oh, thank you. Very kind, Matt. Thank you very much. Well, so before we get into Frank, Matt, I wanted you to also talk about your experience that you had in Hope, British Columbia. I think it ties into our Rambo topics, of course. Go ahead and share that experience.
I'm currently wearing my Hope British Columbia shirt right now that I bought from Brian, who I found out about him through your podcast when you interviewed him. That was such a great interview as they were gearing up for the big anniversary event. So my girlfriend and I were in Vancouver last month, and of course we had to make a trip to Hope. So that was incredible, meeting Brian at the visitor center, touring the different locations. It was really just an amazing time there. And I studied up by watching your podcast, by watching videos from the big anniversary event that they did. And so I had my map sort of figured out ahead of time. I hit all the locations that I wanted. That place was really beautiful. You can totally feel the film all around you. I know when you were there, they had the Rambo statue was there, but was the Teasel statue up? Oh, that was there too. Yes. Yeah. Seeing those two sculptures, it's hard to beat it. I love that town leans into Rambo as much as it does. I've done a lot of Bond tours around the world. We've gone to Bond locations all over the place where we figure out where they shot the films or where the books were written, to kind of go deep into that. And it's great when you find a place that really embraces what the film connection is. And Hope is that to a T. It's perfect.
Yeah, Brian, he's amazing. Unfortunately, when I went there, he wasn't there. So I missed him. I know by like a matter of days. He was actually on vacation in Europe. Jamaica is a part of Europe, apparently, too. So he was in Europe. That's a Rocky Balboa reference. That's a really deep cut.
Last time I seen you, you was a kid, and now you officially got one of your own. It's amazing. The only sort of resembles you, you got that, big Irish hair.
Yeah, it's the other one.
Yeah.
His father was from Jamaica.
European.
Remember that scene? Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Totally deep Rocky Balboa cut. Okay. Anyways, so he was in Europe and on vacation. I just missed him. However, he's a wonderful guy. I'm really glad I got to interview him. Was there another purpose to the visit than just the visit, or were you going to write something regarding that? Or
I'm thinking about it. I might just do that for my blog. I have it's not really a blog. It's just a collection of all my articles from a variety of from different websites. I started writing recently for Emmy Magazine. It's the magazine for the Television Academy that puts out the Emmys each year. I've got a piece coming up in their next issue. And the print issue about the X-Files, the anniversary, 30th anniversary of the X-Files. So I wrote a piece for them. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. That show is still really popular for a lot of people. My website, MatthewChernoff.com, just has a bunch of those articles collected. So I might write something about the trip to Hope in there, just to put it all in one place. Because the photos I took, I did that goofy thing everybody does where you take the screen capture and try to capture the exact angle. And they got pretty close at times. That's where all that stuff will live, MatthewChernoff.
No, you really embraced it. I saw your pictures. Oh, sorry, I stepped on your website there. Say the website again just so.
Oh, MatthewChernoff.com.
Yeah, you did some great photos. You definitely enjoyed the experience you're supposed to enjoy while you're there. And if you're any kind of Rambo nut and it's expensive to travel, but if you're anywhere near the area, if you can drive there, or if you can make it work and see Brian and Hope, British Columbia, it's a beautiful part of the world all the same. Now, you also were interviewed for something. You want to speak to that?
Now, it's been all over a year. I had an interview for the new Sly documentary that's coming up on Netflix. The filmmakers contacted Variety, and they asked the editors there, do you have anybody on staff who can come on camera and talk about Sylvester Stallone and his career and his movies? So, of course, they went right away to the main film critics, but they weren't available at that time, or they weren't interested. I'm not sure how that went down, but nobody kind of jumped on that. And then one of the editors told them, we don't have anybody right here, but one of our usual freelancers, Matthew Chernoff, is a Stallone nut. So you should talk to him. So they sent an email my way, and I did an hour long interview with two of the producers. They recorded it, and they were going to send it to the director, who's directed a lot of other documentaries. He's done a lot of music documentaries. He's done a lot of docs on Bruce Springsteen and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash. So he's putting together this Sly documentary, and they were going to send him the footage, and he was going to play with it in the cut and see if he could make it work. I never got a second call back after that first interview, so I don't know if they actually used anything. So that's why I'm really curious to see the doc and to see if maybe there's a snippet of my voice in there somewhere, or how they end up doing it. Or maybe they rethought it and it's just going to be Stallone talking. Sometimes they don't do talking heads or, other people.
Right.
It'll be interesting. But it was fun. They wanted me to talk about some of his lesser known movies. They told me right up front, could you cover things like Paradise Alley? Could you talk about Rhinestone? Could you talk about Cobra? Not necessarily the biggies. Maybe they already had those covered. So I spent a lot of time talking about Paradise Alley, which is, I think,
you might get something in there.
I love that film. It's really one of my favorites.
Did you ever hear my review on that film?
I've heard your review. I heard your review of your group review of Rhinestone. That was pretty good. I love Rhinestone unironically. I think I put it on whenever I need. Whenever things are lousy and I need just a silly movie, that one just does it for me. So we'll see if I made the cut. I doubt I did, because I think I would have got a second call back if I did. I would have maybe had to sign something, but you never know.
We haven't really talked about on this show or my Rocky podcast where that documentary trailer just kind of dropped out of nowhere. I didn't even know it was being filmed or existed. Right. And of course, a lot of people criticized the documentary, kind of like, oh, he's just doing this because of Arnold. I'm like, no, things take a little bit longer than that. You can't like you said, you were interviewed over a year ago. So you were interviewed long before the Arnold podcast even came out. So,
right. Yeah. So
they've been working on it for a while.
Yeah. This wasn't something that they rushed into. And I think before I came on board, they had already shot a lot of stuff with him. So, this stuff has been in the works for a long time. So I'm curious to see it, even if, I'm not in there anywhere. Who wouldn't want to watch Sly talking about, because this is such a great period for Stallone fans between this documentary, Samaritan, you know, the new Expendables coming out, Family Stallone.
Yeah.
This has been like a real Stallone renaissance. Now
Tulsa King, of course.
Yeah. Right. It's just been incredible.
And speaking of a wonderful time to be a Stallone fan, let's get right into it, shall we?
And now let's check what my brother's doing on the segment I like to call This Week with Frank Stallone.
This is episode 7. I can't believe it's already episode 7, folks, of the Frank Stallone. So what we're about to watch here, for our audio listener, again, I can't encourage you guys enough, even if just for the Frank Stallone segments, but then again for our film segments too, because you get to see what we're seeing. However, if come to our YouTube channel, you get to see what we're seeing, but we'll talk about it here. So we got Frank. I don't know if it's his kitchen, but it's a kitchen. He's looking very, very happy with himself. Why, folks? Because it's his birthday. It's adorable. He's turning 73, and he's got a cake there, and he's got his hands in his pocket like, oh, gee whiz, it's my birthday. So let's hear the group sing, and we have a special guest will appear into the video. Just can't stay out of it, can he? But here we go. Here, let's watch.
Hey to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Frank. Happy birthday to you.
Sly comes into the picture around the countertop and puts his arm around Frank, you know, and Frank does, you know, the keep punching pose, and Sly's looking at the cake. It's just like this real, like, you know, you're my brother, Frank. Like, I have three brothers. Okay. Maybe I just don't love my brothers. Maybe I just don't love the way these guys love each other, but I have never sung happy birthday to my brother and ever felt the need to go up to him during the song, put my arm around him. He's like, you know what? It's your birthday, brother. It really is.
Stallone's got to be on camera. So he's just got to be in that frame, you know?
And then he moves out of picture again. Watch. He moves out of frame. Like, it's all yours, Frank. The stage is yours.
All right. 73. Do you think, his daughter, like, kind of shoved him to push Stallone sort of to get on camera, because he just kind of comes like, maybe I forget which daughter that is right there, Sistine or something. Did she kind of like give him the little shove like, dad?
Yeah, get on, I think camera. So I think you might be right about that, Matt.
He looks a little reluctant.
If Stallone and his family are in the video, is this part of Family Stallone season 2 stuff?
Maybe.
Yeah,
very possible.
Thank you. Well,
all right,
thank you, girls.
So it's just thank you, girls, and Sly starts taking out the candles. We want to say a happy belated happy birthday to Frank. And let me just say, that's not the last birthday video we have. I mean, Frank doesn't stop celebrating. But now, the next video we have is Frank's outside. Don, what do you think the over-under is that he's going to mention that he worked out? What do you think?
I mean, I say there's 130% chance he's going to mention that he worked out.
Okay, let's see if we'll take those odds.
Everyone that gave me well wishes and for my birthday Monday,
and all. You should have asked me what's the over under on something being very noisy in the video.
He's like, hey, we're about to do a video, can someone start their power tools, please? That's part of our content here.
He purposely goes to film when they're doing construction.
For my
go back.
One that gave me well wishes and for my birthday on Sunday, and all weekend, a lot of my friends, it made me feel good. When you get older, it makes you feel good that people still know you're alive. But we had a good workout today. It's been my first in a few days. As you can see, I'm wearing copper fit here. Sometimes, you know, your joints just act up, and that's the way it goes. But Alex and I did a nice workout, did legs, and I'm even wearing shorts.
There you go, Dom. You got some more. Frankly, he heard you on the previous episode.
Yes.
He mentioned he never wears shorts. Then you comment, you see more Frank than you ever want to see. And he heard that. And now he's showing you more leg. Look at that.
I'm getting as much Frank as I could take right now. I mean, geez.
Look at those legs. Those legs are all of 73, my friend. So he went to the gym. He's doing well. We're going to get a lot of gym videos today, folks. So strap in for that. Okay. I'm
glad he's doing better.
Oh, he's doing better. His voice is back.
But we're real good. I want to thank everyone again for their kind wishes and their kind words. And
I guess he doesn't listen to our show.
It's going to happen, Ryan. I just want you to know he's going to somehow find this.
Do you think so? I don't know.
I think so. I call it.
Stallone's coming back, baby. See ya.
All right, so he mentioned, of course, that Family Stallone is coming back. So season two. So he knows he's being filmed. It's being filmed. I think that birthday sequence must have been having Sly come up like that. It seems too posed. Okay. So, yeah, he's saying thank you to all the well-wishers. Now we got another gym scene. And we got Frank Stallone here doing his you have to see our YouTube channel, but he's doing his Joe Biden impersonation here. Look at this. Does he look like Joe Biden here?
Yeah. He does. He does, like, actually. Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. So he's wearing his shirt, Staying Alive. And this is going to come up later. So he's wearing the Staying Alive shirt. Okay, we'll talk about the later. But right now he's working out, so just check that out. I want to smack those freaking shades off his head so badly when he wears them in the gym.
Strict. Out of weight. Strict. You notice my elbows don't move? That's strict. You know why? Because I'm staying alive.
Okay. Oh, wow. Again, we're led to believe, guys, that he's been doing these curls for, you know, this is 100, 102, 103. Uh-huh. Like, you know, right.
Set and 16.
Yeah. And he's mentioning that to keep the elbows straight and strict, he's talking about strict, you know, strict discipline, don't want to hurt yourself. And the reason why is because he's staying alive. How does that segue between proper elbow movement, positioning, and staying alive? It's a horrible segue, but we're not done with it. Let's just leave it at that. Let's just chalk it down to a terrible segue, and he'll get into staying alive later. Don't worry. So now this video against the same day at the gym. He's now sitting. He's doing the arm curls, you know, the old elbow against the leg, doing the arm curls, and look at him looking at the screen there. He's just, who's he doing this for?
His adoring fans, Ryan.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Now, does he ever explain why he wears a sunglass in the gym? Is this almost like his ego? Maybe he thinks he's going to get recognized, so he wears the sunglasses.
No, he wants to get recognized. He wants it. He's not trying to hide from the public. He wants to be recognized.
He might as well just be wearing a shirt that says Frank Stallone on it.
No kidding. Well, he is wearing Staying Alive.
The dead hang. Concentration curl.
Dead hang curl concentration.
You see, I don't hardly move my elbow. Now, some people go like this. Put it against the leg.
So, folks at home, what he's doing, he's showing you the strict discipline that he follows, and then he's giving you an example of not how to do it. I would love during the bad example moment that he actually breaks his elbow or something. It's like, you know, don't do it this way, and his elbow just snaps. Have you seen any of those gym injury videos on Instagram feeds or whatever?
Oh, God.
I can't watch those.
Horror movies, yeah.
Have you seen those, Matt?
Yeah, I can't watch them.
And sometimes I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, they'll be in my algorithm feed, right? It'll come up, and I'm like, is this where the guy's benching? Is this where his knees buckle in half? And like, yeah, okay. We've all seen it, so everyone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
This is a simple but really good exercise. My brother used to do this a lot.
He said my brother used to do this a lot.
It was taking shots. So that was like shots fired right there. That's fine. You know, my brother used to do it when he was in better shape. I love it.
Luis just wanted to say that Frank does listen. He probably has a burner account specifically 100%. To watch these breakdowns. Yeah. Okay. It probably says not Sly's brother.
Would you say Alex that helps with your peak?
Yep.
Wait, did he say the guy's name?
He did. Alex. He said it earlier. Alex. When he was in front of the drill, too, he said it. He said, me and Alex.
Oh, it is Alex. It's not it's not Alejandro. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Alejandro.
Would you say Alex that helps with your peak?
Yep.
Everyone give a shout out to Alex with his great camera work. What a job this guy has, eh?
Poor Alex.
How did he get this job, I wonder?
You notice I'm not swinging. Are my arms the biggest in the gym? No. But I don't have joint pain. Only joint you want working is the one in your underwear.
Did you catch what he said there?
I got that joke. He said he had no joint pain, but wasn't he in the previous video wearing
yes
a joint right in that location? He was wearing the copper
Yes, he has a copper brace because he has joint pain. Maybe this is like a Pulp Fiction movie or something. We're getting out of order.
This is out of context. This is before.
And why is his penis built with joints? Is it crooked?
Oh, man.
Okay, so now we thought the birthday celebrations were over. Not in Frank's world. No way. Wrong. We've got another dinner party. There's a big ass candle here on the table blowing up. Yeah, he's with his other friends at another party celebrating his birthday. And this is literally 5 or 6 days after his birthday. This wasn't the same weekend. This was literally like
celebration.
So there's this one friend there.
George.
There's someone there, lady friend there.
Happy birthday.
Okay, this guy, you almost feel his desperation. I'm going to go back just a little bit. This guy that comes in and goes, happy birthday, Frank. He knows he's about to be on camera. It's like, look, I have a friend who's a celebrity.
Celebration. You got George, Laura.
Happy birthday, Frankie.
Look.
Yeah.
Look at that grin on his face. He's probably 75 to 80, but he's dressing like he's a, you know, college student.
Are any of these people Alex?
So he didn't say Alex, did he?
No.
I don't
this
think
is
so.
Frank behind the camera.
Yes, Frank behind the camera. Alex doesn't get invited to the parties.
Yeah, Alex just gets paid.
An exploding candle. With
it's not exploding. It's a sparkler. Yeah, it looks like a bowl. We got blueberries, raspberries. Because Frank's trying to show you that, you know, he's healthy. This is a healthy dessert. You know, this isn't the cake that he had before.
Fucking in blueberries. So it's a very nice. Well, it just went out, so that my life is over at this point.
Yeah, there you go. Now, have you ever heard of this Philly mayor? Matt, are you familiar with this Philly mayor?
No, I don't know who this is.
This mayor, he was known for, I forget his name. I apologize. I should let people know. If I'm sounding or feeling a little bit punchy, I've had 4.5, 5 hours sleep. I saw Metallica last night. I went to bed at 3 a.m. I'm in a hotel. That's why the lighting's really bad and I look terrible and all that good stuff. And I didn't have my, I think I don't have my show notes. I think they're on my other computer. So I apologize. But this is the old time Philly mayor. I forget his name. It's easy to Google. But the reason why it's on here is because Frank put it on his Instagram to show you again the old days of how to be tough on crime, to be all this. But this guy was notoriously known also to be very divisive. Go figure. Frank is a fan of somebody who's divisive because of his, some of his racial feelings. I wonder how many black friends Frank has. Any guesses?
I'm going to go with -0.
Okay. Here we go here with this mayor guy. He's talking to a reporter, and just there's nothing much to this video other than showing how tough he is, how much of a tough guy he is. And we should, I guess, applaud this behavior. Here we go.
Crumb creep. I want to fight you. But you don't have the courage. You're a real crumb bum. Put that on camera. You're a creep. Get away from me.
Well, sir, I'm on the public street. I should be authorized to be here.
Okay, that's it. That's the video clip.
Crumb bum.
Yeah, and did you notice that Philly talk crumb bum? That was actually Paulie. Didn't he say that in the Rocky films?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
It turned into a crumb bum Rocco.
do Paulie as the mayor. Do the Paulie as the mayor. That clip.
You're a creep. Get out of here. You're a creep. You're not supposed to be on this block. You're just some crumb bum. She's not a virgin anymore. She's busted.
Okay. All right. Back to the gym. Back to the gym.
All right. Okay, folks. I'm not a gynecologist. I'm doing a different exercise here.
What did he say?
What? Did he say I'm not gynecologist? I
couldn't. Oh, no. Did he say that?
No, I don't think he said that. Let's try it. Oh, wait. Is it because his legs are spread open?
I don't.
No.
I'm not at the gynecologist, I think you might have said.
I'm not at the gynecologist. Oh, because his legs are spread. Okay.
All right. Okay, folks. I'm not at the gynecologist.
You called it, Matt. You heard it clear as day. He said it.
Oh my gosh.
Even low for Frank, you know?
So Frank, whose arm isn't injured, is wrapped up in that bandage.
he's gonna be wearing a full blown cast in the next episode. Like, my joints are fine.
Remember when I was showing you not how to do those exercises and I don't have any joint pain? pay no mind to the to my injury wraps around my elbows. Okay, so again, Frank's wearing his Phillies hat. He's wearing his sunglasses. His legs are spread open on this machine as he does these back down or whatever, pull down lat exercise or whatever. So far, we've had the gynecologist joke and we had a penis joke. He's on fire this week.
He's perverted, Frank.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he is.
Doing a different exercise there. No stirrups.
No stirrups.
No stirrups. Yeah, he's, yeah.
He's on fire. Delivery. Yeah,
I'm surprised he's saying I'm not delivering a baby. That might have been a better one.
Oh, this is good, man. That's up relaxing, don't
you? Yeah.
Go Philly.
He says, go Philly, and Alex laughs. He's such a hype man. Like, if I was filming Frank and he yelled, go Philly, I'd be like, okay, I guess so. Why is that funny? Or is Alex actually laughing at Frank? Maybe he's team us. Maybe he's laughing with us.
I just hope he's getting the right compensation. Like, I hope he's getting paid a decent amount of money.
I wonder what he's getting paid. Okay, so now Frank's changed positions on the same machine, but he's just sitting now.
Frank is back like a tank.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
there's Alex. Frank is back like a tank. Frank the tank. Alex is the hype man. Frank just loves it. He just loves having this guy with him. And look at his face here. Again, we're led to believe this is like round five or set six or whatever of 50. But this is all he does is what's on camera.
Yeah. Got to work through it, baby. Got to work through pain.
Hey, I thought his joints didn't hurt. He said you got to work through pain.
Could you imagine how the other people in the gym feel about this? Every day they see him doing this, getting recorded, screaming.
Well, to be fair, they only see him for 5 minutes.
He goes in, all right, let's make it look like we're on set 200.
Now, less people add us and Frank himself. Yes, I know he works out his arms. There's some definition in his body. Like, he's not a schlub. He's 73 years old. He works out. Okay, I just wanted to do that little caveat. Let us, Alex, you know, adds us in the comments. Okay, Alex, settle down. I think the only good thing about this video, okay, there is one thing in this video. So he does a bunch of leg lifts. He does the bicycle kicks. That's all legit. Good for Frank. But watch how he goes a little gangster at the end, Dom and Matt. Watch that.
That was his gang sign. That's the Frank Stallone gang sign.
Just check it out one more time.
You know what, though? The only people that have seen that, they died immediately after.
That's so true.
That was the last thing they saw.
Now we're on to the picture format of the Frank Stallone episode. So did you know that Frank was a boxer, sometime amateur boxer? Did you either one of you know this in his past?
I didn't.
I just watched last night his on YouTube his boxing match that he did, like a celebrity boxing match with Geraldo Rivera.
Yes, I seen that too.
Yeah, Howard Stern, I think, sponsored it or something, and they did three rounds, and Frank won. He kicked Geraldo's ass, but I didn't know he did it beyond celebrity boxing.
Well, with Frank and Sly, I never know what's true when it comes to stories. I just don't know what's true. I went on Wikipedia to Frank's like Wikipedia page. There was no indication on, at least just on Wikipedia, of any kind of professional fighting career. If you do want to see one of the more embarrassing things of Frank's, well, and Frank's got a lot of embarrassing things to watch, but one of them is the Geraldo match. It's pretty bad. It's Howard Stern is ringside. It's literally looks like it was filmed in some local gym or whatever. The crowd looks, you know, those crowds that go to the Shopping Network crowds. You know, the Shopping Network crowds in the stands, they clap every time the blender works or whatever. That's what the crowd felt like at the boxing match. So anyways, Frank says here, after one of my toughest fights coming out on the winning end, of course, he has to say that, you know, one of his toughest fights coming on the winning end was a joy. This is the amateur ranks. I was 165, 3-round minimum, and horsehair gloves. If you haven't already, folks, just go on YouTube and check out Frank Stallone versus Geraldo Rivera. We already gave you the outcome of the fight, but
spoiler alert.
It doesn't take away any of the joy of that fight, I guarantee it. Okay, so this is very interesting. So we got a picture here. Frank is outside some sort of building, and it looks like a breast. The top of the building looks like a boob, essentially, flesh-colored dome. This is what he has to say about the building, though. He goes, the world-famous Brown Derby restaurant now sits on the roof in Koreatown, stripped of any semblance of its great history. I despise developers. I believe they destroy history and its content and replace them with ugly, uncreative architecture that means nothing in life. This is why LA is finished.
He really all liked right. the Brown Derby restaurant, Frank. He really, really was a fan.
Frank is one of these people where everything in the past was great and the future right. is terrible.
Right.
I almost wish some First Nations, that's what we call them in Canada, or a Native American person would come up to Frank and says, yeah, we kind of liked our buildings too.
I wonder what he would say to that.
Like, yeah, the history was great. We kind of like what we built too, you know? So Frank wants to hold on to history, but he doesn't want to hear about anyone else's history other than his own. Okay. I think this is another photo from the Family Stallone show, because we've got Frank with Scarlett, I believe. So he says here, with Big Brother, I love it, Big Brother, and Scarlett. He goes, I know I look like a bird watcher, but I just came from the range, LOL. So again, it must be Sunday, Dom. It must be Sunday, because he's
shooting his gun, right? Wearing his cowboy hat.
What is Sly doing in this photo?
It's like he's clinching. He might look, he might be about to punch Frank, honestly.
I think he's looking at the cameraman. He's checking out Scarlett. I think that's what's happening here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, does Frank's yeah. shirt say exist or sexist?
No, it took the words right out of my mouth, Matt.
Have you ever seen the coexist t-shirts? Yeah. Or, yeah, so it's coexist. But instead of the religious symbols of Judaism, Christian, and Muslim, creating the words of coexist, it's different guns.
Oh, I can see the T looks like a machine gun.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's an Uzi. Good. You've got handguns, rifles, shotguns, forming the words coexist. So he took away the religious symbols of the coexist.
He's an angry guy. He is one angry
yeah.
I like it better thinking it said sexist.
Honestly. Yeah, that was ironic. Like he was embracing it.
This picture alone for Sly, I don't know what he's doing. Okay. Scarlett's gorgeous, of course, so good for her. Now, this is a picture of young Frank. What's he holding there behind him? Is that a horse on his shoulder?
Like a saddle, maybe?
This is great, guys, because this, look, if you want to know who Frank was, if you wanted to truly know the man, this write-up describes who he is. He goes, sensitivity is not a bad trait. I'm considered macho by the left, but I've always been an exposed nerve ending. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel. I grew up in an era where you bucked up and not show your emotions. Being a whiny candy ass is also not attractive, but being a real man is showing emotions. I've been around the toughest of the toughest, but when they hold a child or puppy and cry real tears, this is how the sentence reads. Tell me what this means. He goes, I have been around the toughest of the toughest, comma, but when they hold a child or puppy and cry real tears, period. What?
That's the complete sentence, Ryan.
He goes, that to me, that is a real human being. And I'm my book. And I'm my book. It makes yes. you what? Oh, I think he meant to say, and in my book. Frank, I shouldn't have to correct this. This is ridiculous. But I have to so people know what I'm saying. Or what you're meaning to say. And in my book, it makes you a real man feeling a real human being. If you don't get that. If you don't get that, oh my gosh, he is grammar. If you don't get that, dig deep in your soul. Okay, guys, the Church of Frank is now in session.
The sensitive what? Guy that talks about women's fat back.
Somebody actually wrote there, well said, Frank.
It's the opposite of well said. Does anybody ahead, consider please. Him a macho man?
No. No. It's celebrities in general, I hate it when they tell us how to be. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me how to be. Okay, next one. All right, here we go.
Oh my God, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. So you just saw this picture and you said, tell the listeners what we're looking at.
Who is it? Is it that's like General Patton or something? Like,
yeah, it's Patton.
Somebody
yeah.
dressed up as Patton? It's just sad.
Okay, so we got a spiritual / religious lesson from Frank about how to be as a person. Now we're going to get some military strategy, Frank. Can you imagine if Frank ran the churches and the military?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so here's what Frank has to say. So this is General Frank Stallone in session, folks. He says, if the powers that be would have left General Patton and General MacArthur to do what they wanted, we would have no problem with Russia, China, and Korea. Bad move on Truman's part. guess what? A Democrat. He is saying that Truman, who pulled MacArthur out of, I think it was North Korea, the Korean conflict, pulled him out and stopped it from happening any further, whatever it was, the Korean War. He's basically saying, had Patton and MacArthur been able to do what they were able to do as tough military leaders as they were in their own time, even though they didn't always make right decisions, he's basically saying that we basically have Russia eradicated. Mm-hmm. How we would have done that, I'm not sure. China alone, I'm not sure. And this is why I kept this picture too, because it's not very often that Frank responds, but when he does, it's gold. You have to get the response. So this individual, Lian Feeney, bless your heart, Lian, for saying something because you've really exposed yourself to Frank. She said, I think you need to do some research. Patton and MacArthur both made very bad decisions that lost many Allied lives. Not saying Truman didn't either, but maybe use other people as examples. And she did say LOL, and that's her way of saying, like, no hard feelings, but Patton and MacArthur made decisions too that lost American lives. Here we go. Frank Sloan, do your research. If we would have let Mac roll into China and Patton into Russia, we wouldn't have today's problems. People die in battle, no matter who's in charge. Okay, this is what he wrote. Now we have problems with thesis country.
Thesis.
Now we have problems with these countries, is what he meant to say. We should have taken care of business. Mac was the super ally commander of the Pacific as well. I think they know more about the military than the president. General Frank Sloan in session. I think this is the last picture. This picture here, folks, is an old-timey Honest Joe's pawn shop. Okay, this is from probably 1950s, looks like. Late 50s, early 60s. And it's a pawn shop. It just says Joe's got guns and locks, Honest Joe, need cash, Lone Ranger. So it's a big loan pawn shop, okay? This is the write-up Frank has to say. Check it out. He goes, this is what it was like growing up. Some stores sold everything. So he's saying here this store sold tools, guns, and it gave you cash. So according to Frank, everything is guns and cash lending and tools. This is ridiculous. There's more, though. We had a small country general store that sold everything. People weren't afraid to hustle and work. Stores were open 7 days a week. Boy, has this nation gotten lazy.
I don't even know what to make of this thing, because he even says, like, we had a small country general store growing up. This is not a small country general store. This is like a sad pawn shop.
Right.
And he's saying, like, boy, everything's gotten so lazy now. Like, this is a photo of where you went when you were desperate and you had to sell all your stuff to make extra money because everything was kind of shitty. And somehow he's holding this up as, like, this is, you know, what it used to be.
The same place people are so desperate to need cash is the same place you can buy a gun and shoot yourself.
Get a nice Coca-Cola afterwards too.
Oh man. Anyways, I think that's it, guys. I think that might be the last photo. But yeah, that was episode 7 this week.
Somebody went at him on that, huh? Let's see.
Oh, did they? Is that what? Oh, let me go back.
God, shut up already. We don't all have a talented brother we can ride the coattails of. Wow, somebody did take him on.
Oh, okay. Give me 1 second, folks. I missed that one. Okay, he may have responded to that. Ooh, it's still up.
Oh, and he says, stop shitting on everybody. Be happy with your success and stop shitting on everyone.
Someone said that too?
Yeah. That was the same guy.
Oh, see, sorry, folks. Yeah, like I said, you have to apologize. I'm a little bit punchy. My show notes aren't with this computer. I keep going to Frank Sloan's Instagram on my computer, and I'm waiting to be blocked. It hasn't happened yet. Okay, let's go.
Then what are we going to do?
I have other accounts that he doesn't know about.
We're going to have burner accounts just to view his profile.
Oh, it got deleted.
Did it?
I didn't bring down the comments.
Damn.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. That's funny. Yeah.
I mean, his response was probably something along the lines of, you shut up already.
So it goes to show you that Alex, his camera guy, is deleting comments, or Frank is. Frank does delete messages, which is why I go back to my theory that who is this guy? Those things are getting deleted.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so mad at myself because there's 12 replies under that. You know, one of them has to be Frank. And I
definitely.
Oh, what I want to give. If you're listening to the show, guys, and you were one of those people, please tell me what was said. I should actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach out to Big Fella 7676 and ask him, did Frank respond?
Because I got you should.
Okay. All right. You guys, you ready? So, the reason why we have a podcast.
After 50 minutes of doing a podcast about something else, the reason this podcast exists.
And there's so much Frank content. Literally, since I did this, put this video together for the Frank content, he's already done two new posts for our next episode. I can't keep up. Oh, boy. Okay. Yes, we're on to Last Blood. Now, Matt, you said Last Blood is your third favorite film since you're a guest host. Why is it your third favorite Rambo film? What makes it at least middle tier Rambo? And which ones are underneath? Yeah, actually, which two are underneath of it?
Underneath this one, I would put Rambo 2. And the last one is Rambo 4. I love them all. They're all fantastic. But I put this one up as high as I do because I love revenge movies. I love Death Wish, this movie Vigilante with Robert Forster, anything that's about getting revenge. We actually did a full revenge Western episode on my Western podcast because a lot of Westerns deal with revenge. And this is the revenge Rambo movie. He usually has a mission in the other ones. He's not trying to, you know, get back at somebody. This is all just about rescuing his sort of adopted niece, I guess, and then getting revenge on the guys who did what they did. So I love it for that reason. Plus, I just think it's such a different Rambo movie. I like getting back to America. It's been a while since we have been in this country in one of these films. So that feels really great. It's the closest that they made to a Western Rambo, especially this longer cut that we're going to be talking about. So there's a lot of reasons why I like this. I just think it really is. It looks great. There are some things, of course, we'll talk about that maybe don't work as well, but I know it gets a lot of hate, but I really do appreciate it.
Matt, before we go to Dom, Matt, did you see this in the theaters, I presume?
Yeah, I saw the theatrical version in a theater. The longer cut never played here on the big screen, but I don't watch the theatrical cut anymore. I only watch this one. It's such a better film. Director's cuts or longer cuts, I don't always go for them. I tend to like the original versions. I think that films are often cut for a reason the way that they are. This is not that. I think this thing was kind of neutered in editing, especially when it came out here. So I did see it in the theater.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. I liked it. I definitely agree with Matt where I think the extended cut's better. It was weird because I think it got released like that in different territories, right? Because I remember seeing like a bootleg somewhere and he had that scene, the opening scene we're going to see in a minute. But it's interesting, like you said, Matt, because it's really the most like personal Rambo thing in Rambo's life versus all the other movies, right? Because all the other conflicts, I guess Troutman getting kidnapped is personal too, but it's similar.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, and for me, I saw this in the theaters, as I absolutely did. I actually had a really good time. We'll talk about things as we see them, but let's just get into the film. And Dom and I have already decided that over the next few episodes, yeah, we'll go to more behind the scenes stuff here and there. But people, if they really want to know behind this, just go to Wikipedia if you want to know some production notes. But we will go into some of it. I will say as well that I, too, just would only watch the quote-unquote director's cut. Other than the flood scene that we're about to watch, are there other key moments that you can think of, Matt?
The most important scene in the movie is immediately after the flood. I hope we can go from the beginning of the movie now to the next day where it, because that scene between the flood and when it picks up the next day, when is all new and it's fascinating.
Okay. Well, I think I do have that part of the video ready. And one of the first things that kind of stands out right away is this.
Balboa Productions.
Now, how many films has he done under this banner? Do we know of Balboa Productions?
When I saw this movie, it was the first time I saw the logo, really, or remembered it.
Yeah. I think so, too. I don't think he's done too many under this banner. I think Samaritan might have been under it. Maybe, was it?
Perhaps, yeah.
I said this about when Balboa Productions was announced and when he started doing it. I actually remember thinking to myself that he kind of started all this stuff a little too late. And it's not his it's not his fault that we're human. Like, he's older, and he doesn't have 50 years left on the planet. Balboa Productions is something he should have started in the mid-90s, especially when his career was fledgling at the time. He certainly had the money and the means to do his own little production company. I just feel like he's doing a lot of great stuff a little bit too late, but I guess the old better late than never. But oh well.
I love the hat too. It's a great logo. Cool. I actually bought the hat for my birthday this year. He sells a
the Sly Stallone shop.
Yeah, and I've got it.
Yeah, it looks cool. I've been wanting to buy it. Yeah, it looks cool.
It's worth it. It's really nice.
A few years ago, I got the tiger jacket from Rocky II.
That looks good.
It's great.
That's awesome.
Already, it's better. That sound coming in, the storm sound, it's the theatrical cut doesn't start this way. It mm-hmm. just starts black screen and Rambo Last Blood comes on. Here we get this little buildup with the sound of the lightning and the thunder. It's ominous. It's already a better movie.
NWS has upgraded the storm Thelma to a Category 2. Heavy rain and wind speeds up to 85 miles per hour are to be expected.
Now, flash flooding is real. We just had a rainfall over here in Ottawa recently, like 2 days ago at the time of this recording, and there was some flash flooding around here, just without even any real mountains or anything. It's a real thing that can happen. When those skies open up, it can create a lot of water for some dangerous situations. So that's what's happened now. We got the rescue teams out there looking for three missing hikers, and there's a helicopter in the air that has to be reported or recalled back because the winds are too strong. But I'm not a search and rescue guy. Is there any reason why the people on foot couldn't keep looking around? I understand the helicopter safety, but I'm surprised the people on foot need to be kind of, I guess they're not really recalled per se, but it seems like they're incapable too of doing anything. There's only one man that can go deep into this, of course. So we'll find out who that is.
Only one man.
It definitely brings back this opening scene right here that we just looked at. Brings back memories of First Blood. We've got law enforcement agents in the woods with dogs. So we're in First Blood territory again for the first time in a long time.
It reminded me exactly the same thing of that rain. You got the local enforcement rescue people in the forest. But the difference now, folks, the difference now is Rambo's working with them. He's not working against them. He's never been a bad person, but we're seeing somebody who's working within the system. Not only that, he's a well-known local volunteer. He's a volunteer.
That's hugely different. I mean, think about the last one. You guys talked about it so well, how often Sarah had to beg him to participate. He was kind of shut himself off from the world in part four. Even in the other, in two and three, he kind of had to be asked to join, and he didn't want to join the mission in part three. Here, we learn he's a volunteer. They don't even have to come to him. He's just giving his services over. So that's a new Rambo. There has been a change between four and this film. And the fact that we don't learn that he's a volunteer and helps people in the theatrical cut robs right. that film of a lot. In the theatrical cut, he's a loner. We mm-hmm. don't get any of this backstory on him. So this is a better version of Rambo. We learn he's a different character in this film than he is in the theatrical cut simply by losing this sequence.
This is why we have him on today, Dom. Matt's got the notes. You and I know you and I come with a bunch of notes. You know, it's obvious in our episodes, all the notes that we take. But, we gave Matt the pleasure and the joy of doing the notes for this sequence.
I have a piece of paper that says Frank Stallone on it in front of me.
Oh, that's good. He said Matt specifically asked for this. When he asked to come on this season, he specifically asked for this sequence. So it shows. So thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. Okay. The man in charge of this expedition is actually telling the teams to kind of move to different directions, to go to higher ground. There you go, to seek retreat and shelter. Okay.
Where's that volunteer on horseback? He's not on radio.
Okay, so I love this. Where's that volunteer on horseback?
I love the way this opens too, because I definitely see the similarities with the First Blood thing, but you wouldn't even, if you didn't know this was a Rambo movie and you're just flipping through the channels, you would never even expect it for Rambo to be riding into frame with that horse.
It's a great shot. We'll get to it very shortly here of him on the horseback. It looks with his cowboy hat on. However, riding a horse in these conditions during that's the only one of the problems I have with this is like why the horse in this condition. It's very dangerous. It's, you would suspect Rambo should be able to navigate this a lot easier on foot than on horseback.
Uh-huh.
So the pilot says he's got to be on his way back. He's human like the rest of us, right? He can't be out here doing this. on his own.
Gotta be on his way back. He'd be crazy to be out here in this.
There's a little nod. He'd be crazy to be out here in this. Wow. Yeah. I love how that's the dialogue you hear, and it's kind of hard to hear, so I'm glad we have the captions, because the pilot says he'd be crazy to be out here in this, and what's the next shot, folks? Well, that crazy volunteer. Who could it be?
Too much turbulence. We're bringing this bird back in.
It does have that Western kind of feel.
It's a classic John Wayne entrance. He comes riding in. He's in silhouette for most of this time. We're about to see his face just briefly in a flash of lightning. That's the kind of entrance you want. And again, the theatrical cut, we don't get that dramatic entrance. He's just sort of there. Plus, I just feel bad that they spent all this time, all this money. Right. I mean, the effects are really good. This isn't like they cut it because it didn't look right. This is a finished piece of work. I mean, it had to be days and days of shooting this under really hard conditions. There's water involved. And then somebody made the decision, it's better if we keep it moving faster. Let's cut it all. That's just crazy.
It's crazy, too, that I feel like Stallone would want this in the movie. You know, would want the theatrical cut in the theaters. And I don't know.
I totally agree. It's not cheaply done. When this came out in the theaters and I heard about this being cut, I was confused too. I was like, why make it a cut? I don't understand. It was such an odd decision. Like, nope, Europe gets to see it, but not the US. It was odd.
Strange.
Very confusing to have this cut out at all, let alone some theaters had and some didn't.
From having written several movies myself, like back before I was writing for Variety, I wrote a bunch for Spike TV, for the Lifetime Channel and the Hallmark Channel. So I know decisions are made after films are made and they're re-edited. It's really frustrating. And I feel like Stallone, he kind of went to bat for this version. He shared it online. I first heard about it from him. I think he was proud of it. And maybe I would just think under Balboa Productions, he would be able to say, no, we're going to have it in there. But who knows? I don't know who distributed the film, or, you know, sometime maybe it was somebody else made the call. But I mean, I love it too, because it harkens back to that disaster movie period in Stallone's career, when we got Daylight and Cliffhanger and those kind of like disaster movies. And this opening is a mini disaster movie.
So you got Rambo coming off the horse. You can see the way he's walking. You sense he's a little bit older. Yeah, as he gets off, as he saddles off the horse, he walks a little bit older. He's got some joint pain, and he's not moving as mobile as he used to. It's a classic, you know, just his mouth and nose are being exposed. The brim of his hat covering the eyes. Yeah, that's a classic cowboy shot. But we can't have an opening without some sort of gory, grotesque body at the beginning, right?
No Rambo after four could open without that. They got to top that, you know?
Did they rape her 50 times?
They raped her 50 times. I cut her fucking heads off.
Just wait to slide. This is the wrong film. That actress is actually a victim of the flood.
Oh, okay. I would have drowned her 50 times in the flood. I honestly want a whole Rambo movie, though, where he's in the cowboy hat. Like, I want that.
Yeah.
That should be the last Rambo. Just him rocking a horse and a cowboy hat the whole movie.
Yeah, I agree. He looks good with the hat on. There you go. Look at the arm bent back, the legs.
Oh, my God.
This poor lovely lady, obviously, the flood raped her 50 times.
She looks like something out of a Saw movie. Like she's
really
like Jigsaw tortured her, twisted her.
Play a game, Rambo. Play a game. You spent your life killing people. I want that spinoff. Rambo waking up in a storeroom and having to deal with that.
What do they call it? Sawbo?
Yeah, something.
Rambo sees the dead body, realizes, I think it came from up there. Because he looks up to the mountaintop. Hey, did you do this?
How did she get so mangled?
me. Look at him. He's looking at the boat. He's like, you're next. I'm coming to get you. We see the pouring flood. Imagine if we see the next scene, Rambles wrestling with the water. Starts stabbing the whole water. Oh, man. Well, he realizes, of course, we have a dead hiker. There's two still out there. Gets back on his horse. He seems to know where to go. So good for him. So this guy and this girl, I guess the guy is with another girl and it's his wife who's dead and mangled over there across the way. So, but they're like hunched over trying to shelter themselves from the storm. They see Ramble come on horseback. They're like, hey, help us over here. We're over here. So they feel like they're being rescued in this moment. Ramble, bless his heart, maybe not the smartest guy sometimes. He should have just said, I haven't seen your wife, but once we leave this area, we'll be able to go look for her. Get him to safety, then kind of say, I'm sorry. I get it. It's his wife. Like, I understand it. It's hard just to leave her or her body alone. But he should have just said, not that she's gone, because she's. It's kind of an ambiguous statement. He should have said, I saw her. She's downriver. She's not like washed away, gone, because that's what it kind of sounds like. I saw her downriver, she's gone. So he, in his mind, it's like she's being pushed down the elements somewhere. He should have said, I saw her on the rocks and she's bent in half.
I saw her mangled carcass just floating in the water.
I don't want to tell you what the river did to her 50 times, but it ain't good.
Let's just say she was better off in Burma.
Yeah, Burma didn't have these kind of floods. So he's like, I gotta go to find her, and he takes off. That guy made a real poor decision because his wife is dead, and he's got a cute girlfriend there, or a friend that's a girl right there. He could have maybe made a life with her. You know?
New life, new beginnings.
Yeah. You know, she would have comforted the widower with the dead wife. They would have become friends. It's a whole other movie. It would have been a whole other movie. So he takes off. Ramble's like, well, whatever. I'm not chasing after him. I got to get her to safety. So Ramble sees the flash flooding coming down this valley. This scene reminds me of Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, when the water washes through Isengard, washes over Saruman's guards and stuff. The ants were in the water. Remember that sequence? Okay, my Lord of the Rings nerddom came out. This is what it reminded me of. All right, so the waters come flashing down. Rambo ties the horse and themselves to a tree. So he ties the horse to a tree so it doesn't get washed away. Great. And the water comes rushing down. And he ties himself and the woman to a rock behind the rock. So when the water comes, it kind of washes over them. So the rock is acting as some sort of a shield at the pounding water.
That rope is like the super strong rope to hold the horse and to hold them against a flood. I mean, that's... You know, he's got Rambo-style rope that's just super powerful.
Every frame of this, I just keep thinking, like, how crazy it is that they cut it. They went through all this with the...
It's, what, 5 minutes?
That's the thing.
Like, it's not a lot of film time, and it establishes something at least a little bit different. It at least establishes something a little bit different that we haven't seen from a Rambo film.
It also starts the movie with some action in the theatrical cut. There's no action for a long time. I mean, think about it. He doesn't really become, start getting revenge until late in that film. So here, at least we get something. It works on multiple levels.
In the theatrical cut, it opens with the farm, right? Just him on
the farm. It's daylight. It's like a kind of a you know, a peaceful Rambo. He's mm-hmm, solitary. Right. Yeah. He even says something in that cut that's not in this one, where he says, like, you know why I like being here? Because there's nobody around. He's a loner. Here, he's a member of the community. They know him by John. Later on, they call him John. So this one is both starts with the movie with a bang and gives us a deeper version of the character.
She says, are we going to die? What does that remind you of? And then he says,
you're not going to die.
Cliffhanger.
Oh. Cliffhanger. In the beginning of cliffhanger, right?
Yeah.
This and then
your,
she dies.
Your cliffhanger. And then she dies. He says, I'm not going to drop you. Don't worry. This is so, yeah, the water comes crashing down, hits the rock face, just as Rambo predicted. The water goes above. The horse stays tied to the tree. The water washes over them, but they're secure. They're wet. Well, they ain't going anywhere. But again, a good visual sequence. And then we get the Rambo
blast. Even the way that Play-Doh comes up there out of the black, out of like the flood turns the screen black, and then the title comes up. It's more dramatic. In the theatrical, it just, after Balboa Productions, it's a black screen and the title comes up. So you're just like, okay, I guess we're watching Rambo Last Blood. Here it hits harder.
In fact, it's not even 5 minutes. It's the three minutes, 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
That's it.
Strange.
Granted, I mean, it's 5 minutes total before we get to the original cut, but because now we're going to see the little bit of the aftermath. But it's great because we see Rambo interacting, like you're saying there, Matt, with the local law enforcement, the rescue team, and he's part of the community. And he's having like real normal conversations with the public, which we haven't really seen.
So where'd you find him?
2 miles downstream, that base canyon.
Can we get a positive ID?
Not yet. It's pretty torn up.
No, trying to reach my radio now. Okay, I'll
check. They were just mentioning here that they got the bodies that got washed away, the husband-wife duo. Rambo comes in with the one, the girl that he rescued. She's on the horseback, and he's walking towards the camp here of the search and rescue.
Hey.
So you got one guy saying, well, who's he? Who's that guy that came with the horse and the girl in the back? And this sheriff-looking guy is about to answer.
Volunteers time to time, Captain. Man burnout. But he's a hell of a tracker.
Right there.
You all right, Joe?
Hearing non-burnout is important. It brings us right back to First Blood. And that's not in the theatrical cut. He's just Rambo. Here, we get that echo. And it's coming from a law enforcement guy. It's coming from like a Sheriff Teasel stand-in. It's really important. He's calling him John. You all right, John? He's actually asking if he's okay. This is like the complete flip side to Rambo's first encounter with Teasel, where it was all adversarial, where he had no respect for him. So this is a different version. And speaking of Saw earlier, this is the actor playing the sheriff is Louis Mandalore, Costas Mandalore's brother. And Costas Mandalore was an Australian actor who played Jigsaw's nemesis in those songs. He kind of took over for Jigsaw in like three,
he was
four,
like the
five,
cop guy, right? Or,
the cop started killing people. So this is his brother. Both the Mandalores, Costas and Louis, have been in a lot of movies, a lot of action movies. So I think Lewis has worked with Stallone on other films too. He might have done some other work with him. So this is just such an interesting scene to compare it with First Blood, that non-burnout, the volunteer. He volunteers from time to time. So this isn't a one-off. This is something he's been doing for a while now.
Right.
Well, Dom knew about that Saw connection. He just didn't want to brag about it.
It's funny though, because like with, like you said, with all this, they're giving him like character development. They're giving him like Rambo changed. And then when they cut this scene, it's kind of like they throw it all away. Right. In the beginning. Cause he's a loner. He's.
Yeah. I love it. So yeah, it's a great opening. It's a solid opening. I agree.
It really is important. And you know, this, when you were just saying, Dom, how we see the character has changed over time. It kind of reminds me of David Morrell, when you had him on the show, talked about how much he didn't like this film. He's kind of been very vocal about his, and one of the things he often mentions about not liking it is the underground tunnels. He's often says that Rambo is claustrophobic. He shouldn't be living underground and all this stuff. And I respect Morrell like crazy. I love that guy. And as a fellow writer, I know you're kind of attached to your own material in a way nobody else is. But what I don't know if he's taking into account is this character has grown. over time. He is not the young veteran of the Vietnam War who was claustrophobic at the time. Especially in this film, there's been a quantum leap forward in how he lives. He's taking different care of himself. So the fact that he now is okay with being underground and kind of turned it into something that he wants to do, it doesn't stand out to me like it does to Morrell as a betrayal of this character.
Nice. Well said.
Wife got killed on the first wave. Husband ran away.
Yeah, we found him about a mile down the river.
He sees the husband in the body bag, and I think I might be reading too much into it, but not just that he couldn't save everyone, as you will express later, but I think seeing the body in the body bag is a bit triggering for him. I think it triggers a little bit of his post-traumatic of, you know, his friends in the war and the rain. And you think about those the jungles of Vietnam, seeing these bodies in a body bag probably never gets easy for him.
You're totally correct there, because this is the first moment that we hear the echo of the Goldsmith score. When he looks at that body bag, that's the first moment where we hear the famous riff, the sort of memorial riff. It comes in. It's very quiet in the score. The filmmakers know this is triggering that memory, and they highlight it with the music.
Did what you could, John. And well, we appreciate your help again.
So, yeah, we appreciate your help again. So this is not his first time. He's helped out before. And again, the idea that he's working with law enforcement, he's friends with the community. His issues in First Blood had nothing to do with him wanting to be a part of community, but these are people that appreciate him and are kind to him, unlike the members of the first film. Rambo looks morose.
Hey, mister. Thank you.
Ooh, even that, even saying you're welcome, I don't know if we've ever heard Rambo say that before. No. He's been thanked occasionally. Usually he just kind of silently turns away and walks. Here he almost looks like he's about to do that. He kind of turns his back and kind of laconically walks away. But then he throws a you're welcome in there. That's another sign. This is a newer version. I wonder if she reminds him of Sarah at all. She kind of looks like her in a way. She's a blonde. She's styled a little bit. But.
Older Rambo would have just stared at her and just, like you said, just disappeared. He would have stared at her like brooding and just disappeared.
What do you have around your neck? Can I wear that later?
Well, what does he do at the end of Rambo 4? He just watches, right, from a distance and then he just leaves. Okay.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the ending of Rambo 4, him just overlooking the carnage, like some sort of...
That was one of the funniest things I ever heard, you guys talking about that. How, I mean, I love director's cuts. I've already mentioned that, how this cut is so much better. That Rambo 4 director's cut has some great things, but that final...
Right.
Endless sequence of him waving with that giant human growth hand.
He hovers over the scene like the Black Angel of Death that he is. Like
the camera circles him like 20 times.
Oh, that was good. I don't think it's the same actual farmland that we saw at the end of Rambo 4, but that's irrelevant, meaning like we just have to assume it's the same farmstead that he walks down the driveway. Because I think 4 and 5, you want to look at the ending of 4, really does come into part 5 right away, because we got the same mailbox. That's what I'm getting at. It's the same mailbox. But in the fourth film, I think it was on the other side of the driveway. It was a different driveway going to the ranch. But I think they actually had to pick a different piece of property, I guess, for the fifth film. But I'm not going to go into the whole, it's a different farmland. He took the mailbox with him to another piece of property. So, because there's some stuff coming up here about his dad, which is very interesting. Which actually ties into, I think the dad was alive when he went to the house in part 4. Yeah. We'll hear your thoughts. Oh, he's bringing the horse back. He's okay, or he's okay. He's okay. Loves his horse.
There's another interesting moment. Yeah, this is Rambo
taking medication.
He's like taking care of himself.
Do you think it's for joints or for his head? Mental health pills or joint pills?
Oh, I don't know. I've always taken it as simply for his head, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's not. Something about maybe in the way it's used in the first, in the theatrical cut, he takes it like in the morning, almost like his antidepressant or something. There's a close up on the pill bottle. We should look.
Yeah, I guess we might get it in this one.
But just the fact that we've often seen in the past in these movies, Rambo treating his injuries. He's constantly stitching up wounds or cauterizing himself or doing that. This is Rambo treating himself, but with doctor prescribed medication. He has moved on. He no longer needs to burn himself to and feel this intense pain to heal. You know, this is a new Rambo.
Yeah, I wonder if it's mental health pills. I think it might be.
Of course, he has to dry swallow them. He doesn't need.
No, he doesn't just dry swallow them. He chews them.
Does he?
Yes. Go watch.
Surprised he didn't fill his mouth up with gunpowder.
If they want me to take this medicine, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Watch. He chews them. Like.
Yeah.
Or he's making saliva in his mouth to swallow, which is possible. He might be trying to make saliva in his mouth. But I think he's chewing. Yeah, they're Pez dispenser medication, yeah.
Beautifully lit. Look at the mist there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is another great-looking movie. That's another reason why. I think it actually looks better than 4. 4 has a sort of a guerrilla aspect. It's like a do-it-yourself movie. The camera work is rougher. It's also very striking, but this is a more classically shot film, and it's beautifully lit. The DP was Brendan Galvin, who worked with Stallone on Escape Plan. He also shot this real big hit from last year called Plane. He does a lot of action movies, and it looks good. I mean, this is one of the best looking Rambo movies.
It is a smart looking film in the sense it looks like a film. It really does. Well, we're going to get to this lady here. Do we know? Okay. Was she John's help? Sorry, John Sr.'s help, or was she his wife? Was she the help essentially? Because she says, thanks for letting us stay on the ranch and then helping raise my daughter. So we know that John Sr. passed, or sorry, whatever his name, R. Rambo, his father, R. Rambo, that he passed away, that he's the owner of the property. And she says later in this conversation, thanks for letting us stay and help raise the daughter, like your own type thing. So was she the help, or was she somebody significant
maybe some kind of caretaker, like you're saying, with the father? I mean, because the father had
she's much younger. She'd be much younger, so I don't think she'd be the wife of John Sr. So she must have been the help. I
think she is. I mean, she's literally cooking for Rambo. She's doing whenever we see her doing things. She's doing what the housekeeper would do. So that's I'm assuming. Okay. I've always assumed she was.
If I was an expose on her, I would say yes. She was probably there, maybe in the later years of Rambo Sr., so to speak. And then stayed on after his passing. She says, thanks for letting us stay. So this is what I mean. So when he walks down the driveway in the lore of this film, who's in the house? Is it her and his dad? Is she already there? Because certainly she wasn't hired after his death.
No.
Because she says she knows the dad. She shares stories about his dad to him.
Right.
It's never entirely clear in either cut. In either the end of 4 or the theatrical cut of 5 and or this version, my impression is that the father was already dead. Something about the way she talks about him in the past, in a minute she's going to say, he used to do this all the time. Rambo showed up too late, that the father was already dead, found Maria and Gabrielle there. Maybe they were still living there, and he decided to, of course, you can stay. He's a noble gesture.
She says, are you tired? You must be cold too. The weather can make you sick. Have some coffee.
I heard the news. 2 people died.
Couldn't say my brother's in the war either.
Man, that is an important line. When we lose this in the theatrical cut, this is gold. This is Rambo again talking about the war. This also sets up the whole reason the movie exists. It's about saving people. He's making up for the people he couldn't save in the past, his brothers in the war. So, of course, when Gabrielle is attacked later, this sets up his motive, and they just chopped it out.
Imagine if he goes, good to see my brothers in the war, neither.
Legs, legs, they don't want to shoot science. They don't want to shoot science. I can't drive the car because I can't find your leg.
She's like, oh man, I've heard the story so many times. She's like, she slinks away. Like, I gotta go to bed now.
Occasionally, he just goes into that same outburst from the end of First Blood.
She goes, you can't blame yourself, but I feel like this is a conversation that they've had before, obviously, because she goes right into kind of comforting him, says, you can't blame yourself.
Yourself because you can save some people.
Because you can't save her.
You are not in the war anymore. Only in your head.
In fact, she says you're not in the war. In fact, she says you're not in the war anymore, only in your head. This is not the first time they've had this conversation. It's kind of like a gentle reminder.
She's probably a big part of the reason why he's changed. You know, if she's been around that long, and she's probably, you know, helping him, giving him that.
She's
like,
a very, very caring character. She's like literally nurturing him like a mom, feeding him like a little boy.
Right.
So, yeah, she's definitely. But it's interesting. She says, you're not in the war anymore, only in your head. And look at the shot that she's looking at. It's literally pictures of him in the war over his head, like right next to him, his military picture there. So the director and the DP are kind of, you know, literalizing what Maria's saying. It's very subtle, but it's great. I think I love that.
Yeah, speaking of heads, remember how big my head was in part four?
his head definitely looks a lot better, like they drained it of some kind of fluid or something.
And I also like how he got a haircut. See, this is what's funny, is now he has gray hair, and his hair is cut. Right. It's like, she probably said, you know, Rambo, you probably don't have to dye your hair anymore. You can let it go.
It's hard to turn off.
You just don't turn it off. This is that line is an echo of First Blood.
Yeah, it's hard to turn off. You just don't turn it off. Then he starts yelling, nothing is over.
Sitting there, you remind me of your father.
See how he is kind of rocking in the chair too? So this is interesting. So he says, sitting there, you remind me of your father. And he is kind of rocking in his seat. So she's going to mention the rocking chair. Now we have to decide, is he hearing a story about his dad because he wasn't there when he came home in 2008?
I feel look the way he turns. The second she says, you remind me of your father, we get a shot of him like whipping his head around. Like this is something that he needs to hear, something that he wants
to hear. She was the help to Rambo Sr. Sure. That would mean she and her daughter were the ones on the farm when he came down the road. So in theory, he is the sole beneficiary maybe to the ranch. Maybe he was on the will as a son and it was left to him. So but they were there to keep it for his, like, that's the only confusing thing. I know it's a legality issue, but the idea is if Rambo Sr. was deceased and they were still there on the property, that was one of the jokes we made about he comes in and kills everyone on the property. You know, but so the idea that, you know, he let them not only live, but he let them stay. That's what I wonder. That I wish we had some sort of like what happened when you opened the door. That's it kind of bugs me. We don't know how this segue took place. Yet here we are all the same. So
He definitely moved the mailbox.
Yeah, he moved the mailbox.
Sit outside in his rocking chair. What was thinking? Never talking.
Like father, like son.
Now, think about this. No spoiler. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess. The end of the movie, the last shot of Rambo on the rocking chair. Without this setup, that this is what his father used to do.
This is not in the theatrical cut.
This is not in the theatrical cut. This is all new. That scene makes no sense in the theatrical cut at the end, other than he needs a break. He's kind of tired.
Right.
Here, it comes full circle. This stuff is gold, and it's not just cool looking like the you know, special effects during the flood. It's thematically important, and that ending now lands so much harder because of what Maria says.
Agreed,
totally agree.
But you have done a wonderful job here.
She has done a wonderful job
running here. This place. I can't thank you enough for letting me stay and helping raise Gabriela.
So she refers to it. Helping me stay And Gabriella, that's not her. That's her granddaughter, is she not?
Right.
Okay. So maybe she was something special to Ramble Sr. But she's much younger, but that's fine. I mean, older men have younger ladies. But she says, in helping me raise Gabriella. Can you imagine Ramble raising? Did he help Gabriella when she had her period?
Oh, my God.
Your body drew first blood.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wear this around there. Just pull it tight. Stop the bleeding.
Just make a tourniquet down there. Look at this. Look at this. This is a huge moment, folks, for our listeners. So Ramble reaches out his hand and holds hers and says, thanks. Like, that's, when's he done it like that, kind of, that tenderness?
This is new. Yeah.
Good
night, Maria says. Yeah, so he's going down this little makeshift tunnel. Of course, we see like childhood drawings from chalk. Mm. We know this is from Gabriella when she was a kid, so which would indicate that Gabriella would come down here and probably visit Rambo down in his little makeshift tunnel home and visit with him and draw on the walls. And those are things that Rambo would never erase. Those were probably done 5-10 years ago, whatever, that when she was a little girl, but he keeps those drawings up.
It turns this tunnel that Morel had such a problem with and thought that this was such a betrayal of Rambo. He's keeps these Gabrielle kind of artwork of a horse, these little chalk drawings, make it like a homier place. He's now like working this into his life.
Yeah. I wonder why Morel had such a hard time with this, because I think in the books, I swear I remember reading First Blood, the novel, they talked about being in the tunnels. He feels safe down here. I think that's the thing. I think he actually feels safe down here.
For as far as he's come, this character that we've talked about, all these changes in him, essentially he's, you know, this scene shows us he's still grappling with it. He's still down here. This is where he retreats to, some place he knows from his past. Also, he's listening to the Doors down there.
Right, right.
Which is, of course, we always associate that with Vietnam movies,
right, like right.
Oliver Stone and everything. But what's interesting is the song he's listening to, I forget the title of the song, but it's the one that has that famous line, "No one here gets out alive."
5-1.
Right. Yeah.
5-1.
That's the line. No one here gets out alive. That has, you know, multiple meanings. When he listens to it on his own at the beginning of the film, it's like he's still telling himself, I'm not going to get out of this. I'm still struggling with this. I'm still working on this. And at the end of the film, when he plays it while he's massacring the cartel, they're a very different meaning. None of you are getting out of here alive. And this is where, this shot here is where the theatrical cut opens.
Right.
First shot.
Right. Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of material that we don't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now we got, he has his war display here of just everything. Medals and pictures and what else he's got here? Guns and weapons and
he's got a knives. Right.
Is that the Rambo 4 machete or the Rambo 3 one? Which one do you think that one is?
That might looks be, like four to me.
Yeah, it might be four, right?
Yeah.
That Frankenstein machete he made?
Yeah, that's the one that sold at that auction for like, I don't know, $40,000.
Oh, wow.
The amount.
I love how he's put that one on display. I cut a guy's head off.
So I kind of like decapitated this guy.
Hey, Uncle John, tell me the story of the machete.
Well, you see, there's this guy who liked to diddle little boys. So I cut his intestines out.
And then I kicked him down a hill, see? And he twisted really weird because of the CGI. So what is that there? So he's in Bowie, Arizona. It's 500 milligrams of what? Can't make it out.
Something Alexis? XO.
LIXOS is the ending. Take one capsule by mouth daily for 10 days. So it's only for 10 days until something. That's just the one, but that's the one we see. So that might be a nine
sauce. He has because several bottles there.
He's got several bottles, and then he's got one that he's pulled away that we didn't see. So either way, he's taking a lot of medication. Yeah.
Rambo's a drug addict now.
I can't stop popping these pills.
So now we got some future Tulsa Kings activity here. Now, we know Sly is a horse handler. He's always been great on horses. You know, we talked about that on our Rambo 3 coverage when he did the horse work there. Mm-hmm. And this again, this carries that Rambo lore that, you know, Rambo was raised on a ranch. This is his ranch, his father's ranch, and his horse handling skills are legit, both in real life and, of course, as the character, which I love. We get to see some real old school Rambo horse work. I'll just mute it for that musical stuff that gets us in trouble. So he's saying, easy, easy, good boy, come on, turn. He's backing up the horse. This is like legit, like tricks, spinning the horse and riding around. In fact, that this shot here of the horse running around the whatever you call this little mini arena field thing, this was one of the opening shots in the trailer, if I remember correctly, to show this new version of Rambo, Cowboy Rambo.
This is where the Goldsmith score really comes in. And I do appreciate that in how often... who did the music to this
one? This one here, music was, yeah, Brian Tyler, who did part four as well.
Right,
yeah.
He did part four and five. And I love that he uses Goldsmith as much as he does. That was always one of my complaints about the recent James Bond movies and their scores, that they're so stingy on using the classic Bond themes. Brian Tyler uses the Goldsmith constantly throughout this, and it links all those films together. Plus, he's written some original pieces that are, I think, very beautiful, that are equally powerful. So the score in 4 and 5, that's pretty good stuff.
Did you catch this here, folks? That's Rambo with his dad.
Oh, wow.
There's a picture of his Rambo and his dad right there. There's Rambo Sr. And because right here next to that picture, you have Rambo growing. This is the seventh month of 1956. He's that height. And then up there, so those are the years that he was measured on the wall there. So this is Rambo's childhood home. And then more shots here of Rambo joining the military. And then we got that Native American photo. It's not his father, I don't think, because I think that other picture was his dad. Because doesn't he have part Native blood and German blood?
Right.
So is that his dad there then, or is that a great-grandfather probably?
Could be a relative of some sort. It almost looks like it's in Monument Valley or something. There's like long hair.
The return of the hair.
We got a picture here of Rambo with the long hair looking up at Gabriella. That looks
totally CGI hair. Like
he kind of looks like Michael Madsen from Kill Bill.
Yes, that is Michael Madsen from Kill Bill. When the guy says, that hat, I just can't stand that hat.
Fucking hat.
Before you leave, talk to Rocket. She's got a job for you to do. The hat. That fucking hat. That fucking hat. How many times have I told you? Don't wear that fucking hat here. How many?
Well, customers wear hats.
I'm not the boss of the customers. I'm the boss of you. And I'm telling you that I want you to keep that shit kicker hat at home.
I love that sequence. You know where? You know how that came to be with that sequence? Really quickly,
no.
Was Quentin Tarantino hated the hat that Michael Madsen?
Oh, really?
So he wrote that into the script for the guy to say it to him. Yeah. So here we go. Here, so another picture of Gabriella with her mom or grandmother graduating from it, and Rambo's at the graduation. Yeah, he's there.
Graduation, smiling.
Look at that smile. Yeah. Wow, what a great episode, guys. I'm really excited to do part five. I think part five is going to be a blast. I hope people join us for the ride. Matt, again, before you leave, where would you like the people to find you?
You can find me at MatthewChernoff.com. That's where you can read pieces I've written for Variety and for different websites about film. You can also listen to How the West Was Cast. It's on all the normal places, Spotify, blah, blah, blah. How the West
That's a great podcast name for a Western podcast, because I've
like
mentioned that at some point I'm going to do my own Western podcast, and I haven't decided if I'm going to go solo or have guest hosts on it every now and then or whatever, but there's some Western films that I want to talk about. I want to nerd out about, from The Young Guns to Tombstone to Unforgiven. There's just some Western films I just love so much.
I know you love Tombstone and Unforgiven. You've talked about that on the show before. And one of our last episodes was, we did a show on overlooked Westerns of the 1990s. Because in the 90s, three movies took up all the air in the room.
Right.
In terms of Westerns, it was Dances with Wolves, Tombstone, and Unforgiven. Those were the key three movies.
Yeah,
so we decided to look at six westerns that could use a little bit more appreciation. Not
which ones were they?
The
do you remember
one,
in them?
My partner and I each picked three. So I picked this movie called El Diablo. Not a great Western, but it's an interesting one because John Carpenter wrote it. Carpenter's movies are always like Westerns in disguise.
Right.
Escape from New York is very much like that. Big Trouble in Little China kind of has like a John Wayne aspect. Mm-hmm. So this was his only attempt to actually write a Western. Not great, but it's interesting. I also picked a movie called Last of the Dogmen with Tom Berenger. That's very much a David Morrell style Western. It's a contemporary Western set in the modern times where Tom Berenger finds a tribe of Indians, Cheyenne Indians, living secretly in the woods for the last 100 years. Sort of a fantasy, and it's very, very good. And then I ended with a movie called The Jack Bull.
John Cusack?
John Cusack. Very emotional Westerns that doesn't get a lot of talk. So, I talked about that. My partner picked this really bad movie by Paul Hogan called Lightning Jack.
Yes, I remember that one.
But he had a sentimental attachment to it, so he talked about that one. He also did Maverick.
I did a review with that with somebody on the network. It's on our network feed. If you want to, I can send you the link there, Matt.
I would love to hear it because that's a fun one. And then he ended with a Tom Selleck made for cable Western called Last Stand at Saber River, which is also deserves more attention. It's really an interesting one. So we did that was our an episode you guys might like, and we just put out one this week on the film Little Big Man, the Dustin Hoffman Indian Western. So I would love to hear your take on Westerns. I'm looking forward to your Vietnam show that you guys...
I don't know what we're doing. I'm all over the place because there's genres I just love. I love mafia films. I love Vietnam films. And because we're going to be ending the Ramble series shortly. This is our last season. I know. And so
I know the cartoon thing. Are you not doing the cartoon thing? Because I interviewed... years ago, I interviewed the voice actor who did Rambo's voice.
Awesome.
I was writing a series of articles on 80s animation for a website, and I talked to the showrunner for that Rambo cartoon and the guy who did the voice, and told me how he came up with the voice and all this stuff. So I it would be interesting to see you guys take on one episode.
We might do one of those, but really quickly, I talked to Dom, like, I don't know, man, we're going to end this podcast shortly or the last season, but maybe we can kind of extend it to some Vietnam films. We'll figure out. We might do Vietnam.
Frank Stallone podcast.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if some people listening that wishes we somehow continue doing Frank Stallone. I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, with all that being said, supersized episode. Great way to start season five, the last season of the Ramble podcast. However, this episode is over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast. You asked me to co-host. I didn't ask you, Ryan.